Hi, everyone. I'm Martin Lefebvre, Chief Investment Officer at National Bank. Welcome, everyone, and thank you for tuning in this National Bank Investment podcast series on the state of the market. Today, I have the pleasure of introducing Warren Lovely, Managing Director with National Bank Financial, who serves as a Chief Rates and Public Sector Strategist within the Economics and Strategy Group. Warren, welcome, and thank you for being with us.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so let's jump right in and start with the state of the economy. So Warren, after I saw as a COVID-induced complete shutdown in 2020 of the global economy, which, as you know, resulted in the most severe correction ever recorded in a single quarter, market players have been surprised by the magnitude of the recent recovery. So my question for you is this sustainable, and what type of growth do you foresee over the next 12 months?
Well, let's just say this is a fairly tricky question in the current environment, because we still have, I think it's fair to say, a tremendous amount of uncertainty as it relates to the ongoing virus situation. But you're absolutely right. The magnitude of the recovery was particularly striking earlier this year, really got markets, the attention of markets. We saw a significant repricing of some asset classes. Interest rates started to move up aggressively. We've, of course, had a setback in the summer with the Delta variant and resurgence of case counts. That's led markets to step back a little bit from this voracious recovery narrative. We still see pretty healthy recoveries continuing in the tail end of this year throughout 2022 when we get there. But safe to say that Canada in particular had a bit of a setback in our latest quarter, the second quarter results that we saw just recently. Third quarter started with a bit of a hiccup as well in terms of a July decline in GDP. So we're getting through this latest wave. Data are still massively distorted, but the recovery narrative is something we still believe in.
Okay, that's good. So how do you link all of that towards inflation, which has really been top of mind lately? And what we see on our side are two really distant camps, where on the one side, you got those that find the recent rise in prices to be COVID sensitive, base effects related, and as such a transitory in nature. While on the other side, you got others seeing a shift in regime with deglobalization, polarization, labor shortages, which inevitably are going to be exerting upper pressures on inflation. So what's your take on the matter?
Okay, well, there's a lot to unpack there, and inflation, I think, it's fair to say, will be the big issue, the big question that we'll be dealing with. How transitory is this inflation surge that we're seeing in the United States, here in Canada, or how systemic and long-lasting are some of these pressure points? So let me take it back a little bit. We talked about at the beginning, you know, the GDP recovery that we're having. So the first point I'd want to make is that, look, GDP recoveries, by their definition, close up slack in the economy. So this is a little bit of a messy calculation, but economists will like to try to pinpoint when the output gap might be closed. And what it appears to be the case in our view of the world is that we're moving towards output gap closure pretty quickly in the U.S. We had, as I say, a bit of a setback, a temporary delay in Canada, but we're still moving towards closure of output gaps in a North American context, if not by the end of this year, then probably by latest mid of next year. So slack's closing up. The labor market still has some slack, and I think this is something that central bankers, Jay Powell in the U.S., Tiff Macklem here at the Bank of Canada, you know, are quick to point out. And there's some merit to that argument. We haven't got employment levels back to pre-COVID levels. There's, of course, been population growth, so we're maybe even farther away in terms of full employment utilization. So there is still some slack in the economy. And, you know, I guess if you were an inflation dove, maybe you'd take some comfort in that. The reality is, though, we're seeing, yes, some temporary factors, some year-over-year comparisons that are clearly contributing to inflation prints. But man, those labor shortages you spoke about, those could become really quite pressing. Some of the supply chain disruptions maybe aren't permanent, but they're certainly contributing in the short term. We have as well something that appears to be the makings of a regime shift as it relates to ESG and putting a price on carbon and environmental reforms. All of this adds up to us to a less temporary, less transitory inflation phenomenon than what some central bankers maybe currently believe or would have us believe. So look, inflation looks like a legitimate worry from markets, not just right now with these elevated prints, but probably an issue we're going to be contending with all through next year and beyond. And it's going to eventually, kicking and screaming, you might say, drag central bankers off the sidelines and get them back in the game in terms of having to normalize interest rates.
Yeah, that was pretty much my next question. You've alluded to a lot of topics that are top of mind for our central bankers. The potential gap, you know, perhaps getting close towards the end of the year, so exerting upward pressure on the economy and inflation. So what does it all mean for monetary policy? We know the forward guidance by the Bank of Canada has been pretty clear over the past couple of meetings, where they're thinking about being able to raise rates in the second half of 2022. The Fed has just announced that they were probably ready, they were standing ready to start tapering those monetary purchases somewhere towards the end of this year, and eventually that'll lead the way to perhaps raising rate environment also in the U.S. So where do you see them really starting raising interest rates, and what type of impact do you see that having on the global economy?
Well, when it comes to monetary policy, you know, you have to walk before you can run. So before we can talk about interest rate hikes, and it's a great question and something we will chat about here, but the first thing we need to do is a step down and wind down, taper, much used word in the current environment, the purchases of bonds that both central banks are doing right now. And I mean, look, let's be clear. It's not just the Bank of Canada and the Fed that are buying securities. This is happening all across the world as central banks continue to inject extraordinary support into financial systems. But closer to home, you know, the Bank of Canada is still buying bonds. I think importantly, and I'll give them some credit, you know, the Bank of Canada has at least initiated the first few rounds of a taper. In fact, we got this underway almost a year ago in October of last year with the first taper from what was, to be frank, an extremely outsized level of bond buying. So we've been buying last year, buying way too many bonds, far too many for the size of our market. And I think that was recognized last year. We started to moderate those purchases. We've had a few more tapers this year. We think we'll get another taper by the Bank of Canada in a month's time, in October. And that's going to bring us, Martin, close to a level that economists and strategists and market participants are labeling the reinvestment phase. You know, that stage of the monetary policy cycle where central bankers are no longer adding to their portfolio of bonds. It's kind of a net neutral run rate. And we should be there in Canada, that reinvestment phase, towards the end of this year. And then I guess the question is, how long should we be in this reinvestment phase before we actually start to do the blunt instrument of interest rate hikes? And to us, the answer's in the neighborhood of 6 months. There's no precision here. We don't have an empirical playbook in Canada to go by. We've never done quantitative easing in Canada before, so we're flying blind in a sense. But assuming the recovery we talked about at the very beginning plays out, assuming that slack in the labor market that still exists continues to get absorbed, there's going to be every reason for central bankers to respond via interest rate hikes in Canada. That first hike probably comes by the summer of next year. And what we would be looking for and what we officially forecast is a couple of hikes in the second half of next year, giving way to some continued normalization in 2023. I guess the question to some extent is going to be, how sensitive is today's Canadian economy to interest rate hikes? We know how much activity is happening in the housing market. So there's a sense, I think appropriately, that we might not need too many interest rate hikes to start to alter behavior and slow things down. So, you know, there's a discussion, I guess maybe a separate discussion, Martin, we could have about, you know, where's the terminal rate. The terminal rate, exactly, the neutral rate of interest in Canada versus the U.S. and so on.
Okay, so if you're right in your assessment, where do you see all the, where do you see benchmark bond yields in 12 months' time? So, you know, we know markets are a precursor to monetary policy. So where does that leave us?
So look, we're short fixed income. In our recommended asset allocation, I wouldn't say that it would be impossible to get lower yields here, but the balance of risk to us is higher, a higher rate complex, call it a bear flattener as we get closer to those first interest rate hikes. You know, again, we got to get through the Delta variant. I don't want to suggest that yields are going to start to leap starting next week. We do have an FOMC decision, mind you, next week to be watching. I think you're going to be seeing 10-year yields 50, 60, maybe 70 basis points higher in a year from now. So a 10-year treasury, a pretty closely watched instrument in the marketplace, might have a handle around 185, maybe 190 this time next year. I wouldn't be expecting, I guess the irony perhaps, is that I would not be expecting that Canadian rates need to sell off more than in the US, even though the Bank of Canada is ahead of the game on taper and the Bank of Canada will be ahead of the Fed most likely when it comes to policy normalization. I think, again, coming back to this point about terminal rates and so on, I'm not sure the bank's going to be in a rush to be so far ahead of the Fed and to be outgunning the Fed. And moreover, I don't think that the neutral rate of interest in Canada is higher than it is in the U.S. It's probably lower.
Yeah, but nevertheless, in the in an environment of rising rates, where can bondholders find value in all of this?
Well, so you'd be short duration in an overall bond portfolio. I think there's still an argument, at least in the near term here, for, you know, still being comfortable with credit. Look, I'm aware of the fact that credit spreads are tight. Any type of chartist is going to tell you and point to credit spreads as being near cyclical tights. I guess the same argument could be held up for equities, to be frank. So look, in the short term, I'm still pretty comfortable with credit here. I think there will be some survivability as it relates to reasonably tight credit spreads through the balance of this year. Again, the tougher test is going to be when we start normalizing interest rates in more meaningful and sustained fashion, and therefore start draining liquidity from the system. You know, how does credit hold up in that environment? And there, it might require a little bit more of a value proposition. You might be looking for lower beta plays and so on. But in the short term, I think there's still good carry to be had in credit. So some areas of the fixed income universe where you could probably still enjoy some excess return.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And since we're fairly early in the cycle, I think there's more room to grow, especially in the good quality investment grade environment. Well, Warren, thank you very much for this very spontaneous, value-added discussion that we had today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in, and we'll talk again next month.